We've been doing a little series, for January, on the resilient life. And as we begin a new year, it's good to think about what's going to make us resilient for this year. What's going to help us to be really focused on the God stuff and stay on top no matter what happens in our life. And Lewis Carroll, in his little allegory of Alice in Wonderland, has this little exchange where Alice comes to the Cheshire Cat and says to the Cheshire Cat, "Can you please tell me which way I should go?" And the Cheshire Cat says, "Well, where do you want to go?" And she says, "I don't much care where I go." And he says, "Then it doesn't much matter which direction you take." And she says, "But I want to get somewhere." And he says, "Well, as long as you walk far enough and long enough, you'll end up somewhere." And sometimes that's a bit like our life, you know. We get to these places and we want to know, where should we go? What should we do? But if we've got no sense of a big picture of where we want to go, then we're just making day-to-day decisions that maybe are taking us somewhere positive, maybe they're not. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about big picture decisions, big picture, having a sense of what is the big picture that God's got for our life, both individually and as a church. And so later in the sermon, I'll be talking a little bit about some of the things that help us focus on what is the big picture. I've got a friend who had a farming background and was talking to him one day, and he was saying, you know, in life we get caught up in all of the day-to-day stuff and we're so focused on what's happening today we forget about where we're going and what the big picture is. And he had this way of talking about it. He said, we need to step back every now and then and get the view from the veranda. He said, on the farm, you know, we'd be pulling a cow out of a bog, we'd be fixing a fence, and, you know, we're full on day-to-day, all the jobs that had to be done. But sometimes it was good to sit back on the veranda and survey the property and see how good it all is, see what we're overall working for, see where this is taking us, what all these little things mean in the big picture. So I want to focus on some of that sort of stuff for us in our spiritual life this morning, just thinking about how, if we've got a sense of God's big picture, then we can be more focused in the day-to-day things and see how even the setbacks of life are doing positive things in our life to bring us towards the person that God wants us to be. So in terms of resilience, big picture helps us stay focused. So I'm going to focus on that later in the service.
All right. Good morning, kids. How you doing? You good? I need lots of helpers this morning. Oh. How you doing? Anyone good at puzzles? You good at puzzles? That's good, because I've got a puzzle for us to do today. But before we get there, how do you like that puzzle? Yeah, that's a good puzzle, isn't it? That is such a good puzzle. And just as I'm getting to this puzzle, I just want to say thank you last week for the beautiful cake that you did for my birthday. Really appreciate that. And that was really cool. And the cards, thank you very much. This I got from my youngest daughter as a part of my birthday present. It's a pretty cool puzzle. You know why it's a pretty good puzzle? I haven't figured out how to get it apart yet, let alone put it back together. So that's a pretty cool puzzle, hey? I've only spent 2 minutes on it, so hopefully sometime along the track, I'll be able to put that puzzle apart and then put it back together. How do you reckon, Ollie? Pretty cool, eh? Bit tricky, you reckon? I think there's going to be some sneaky bits in this puzzle. Someone sat around for a long time and figured that one out. Anyway, the puzzle I've got today is not as hard, but I need your help. Okay. All right, anyone come up around the table? I'm going to give you all a couple of pieces of the puzzle. So grab a few pieces. Easy peasy, Ollie. Good to hear, mate. Good to hear. All right. Okay, come around here. Come on. Here, come on in. There we go. All right, you got some pieces of the puzzle. All right, I've got a couple of pieces there. Now, trick is, I don't know what the picture is. Anyone know what the picture is? You know what the picture is? Shh. Okay. Are we going to do... Okay, because the trick is, if you hold those pieces up, there's a picture on that side. See, ladies and gentlemen? But wait, there's more. There's a picture on the other side. So there's two pictures here. We've got to find out which piece we're going to do. All right, so quicker vote. This one's got a blue, this one's got green. Which one are we going to do? Green. We're going green? Everyone in favor, green? Excellent. Cool, because I don't like blue. All right, green. Here we go. So what do we do first? It's a puzzle. What's the picture? Shh. Okay, what do you think? Where do we start? In the middle? All right, who's got a middle piece or a corner piece? Oh, you got a middle piece? There's a corner piece. All right, help each other. Where do they go? Oh, there's another corner piece. Well done. Oh, you made one over there. Where does that go over here, Ollie? Oh, does that go together? Oh, look at that. It's coming together. Oh, look at that. That's a king. You said it was a Daniel. That's a king. Okay. Oh, look, pussycats. So pussycats in the Bible. What's that story? All right. That's upside down. Okay. Yep. What do you got over there? Where does that one go? Oh, look, it's coming together. Oh, these are funny guys. So it's obvious a funny story. Okay. More pussycats over here. Look. Oh. Does that go there? Does that look like it's good? Yep. Look at that. What is it? Bunch of guy. Hello. It's a guy playing with a bunch of cats. Yeah. Hold on. He's in a bit of a hole. So what do you reckon? There's a king. There's a guy. And there's are they real cats?
Lions.
They're lions. Ooh, who was stuck in a lion's den? I think you were right. It's Daniel in the lion's den. Wow. Now, who reckons we can find out what the picture on the other side is? You ready? On the count of three, one. Are you going to help me? Oh, that's going to be making it a little bit easier. One, two, three. Flip. Oh, no. Oh, all right. Well, how about you put that down on the carpet and you guys can work together and put that together and see. You can tell me at the end of church what the other side is. All right. And I've also got some colouring in for you guys as well. So, yeah. Isn't it amazing? When you had those single pieces of the puzzle, though, do you think you could do it? But working together, when all the pieces of the puzzle come together, we can see the big picture. Isn't that... I've lost them.
We're going to do our Bible reading a different way this morning. It's a very short reading, just three verses. And Jono is going to put it up on the screen for us. And thanks, Jono. You do a great job up there, mate. Lovely to see some of our young crew up there in the sound desk. And so you can't be too old or too young to be contributing in some of those practical areas around the place. Thank you, mate. So it's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and we're going to read it all together. So speaking it out together. I'll start off, and if we just read it off the screen, and that's our reading for this morning. Therefore, since we are all surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Great words, isn't it? I think we're on there. Yeah. I don't mind a bit of noise and a bit of distraction at times, because that's what happens in families. We often have to stop and just take a moment while something's sorted out with kids before we continue on other conversations. So I just love it. I think it's something special that we've got here at the moment. Another thing I love is my GPS in my car. I just love that you're going to go somewhere and you just punch in that little address and it just comes up with a map plotted out for you, a route. And as you're driving along, it just tells you every turn to make. You know, you can. It's so reassuring to watch that little arrow on the blue line as you're driving along. I use it all the time when I'm in my car. Heather thinks I'm crazy because even when I'm coming to church here, I put it on because I might get lost. It's just something reassuring of having it on. But then I tell her there's other information. It tells me exactly what time I'm going to get there, you know, 8:53. And that's really important because it might have been a bit more or a bit less. But anyway, I just like it. It's just there as reassuring. There's occasional times when you have no idea where you're going and it's really good because you don't know this address. But mostly I've got a pretty good idea where I'm going and could get there anyway. Yesterday we were going to a wedding up at Orlando Point and I knew exactly where to go. So I was driving up there, but Heath put her little phone GPS on. But then when we got to where we were almost there, it led us around these circles around Boreen Point. And I said, Alanda Point's up there. We're going around in circles. And it led us to this wrong address. So I said, let's just head off to where I think it is. We went there and that's where it was. So it doesn't always get it right. But, you know, wouldn't it be great in life if God's voice was like that voice on the GPS, telling you, you know, take this turn, make that decision, you know, go around the roundabout and take the second exit, you know. Guiding us all along the way, every step of the way. I don't know about you, but that's not the way God seems to communicate with me, unfortunately. He leaves a lot to me to have a sense of where the big picture is and where I should be heading, and basically be heading in the right direction. And I might make a different route or different turns to what would have been the shortest, quickest way. But if I've got that big picture and I know roughly where I'm heading, I will get there in the end. Pretty much like some of my driving at times when I don't have it on. But what would help us is to have a good sense of what that big picture is. Resilient people, people who are not knocked around by every single little setback that happens, are people who have a sense, I think, of life direction, of the big picture, of what it is that we sort of are basically aiming for in our life and what we want to achieve. Not always is that something that comes very, very specifically from God, but he's given us so much in his word to give us a general picture of what that's about. And I want to talk about a couple of aspects of that this morning. One is, a resilient person, knowing that, is not going to be knocked around. That Bible reading we had about Jesus, he knew his purpose, he knew the reason he was coming, what he was achieving. So despite the opposition, despite all the things that came against him, he knew where he was going. He knew what was important. He knew what to stand firm and resist and what to just let happen. And for us, if we have a big sense of that, we can be similar. The kingdom of God that we belong to as part of God's family, when we come into a relationship with him through Jesus, has certain values and certain principles. And if we choose to live by those, then we are basically conforming to the big picture of what God has given us. So the more we read the scriptures, the Bible, the more we understand God's big and overall plan for this world, about what he's done for us through Jesus, the teaching about how we are to live as disciples and followers of Jesus, the more we're going to be heading in the right direction. We've got more of the big picture that keeps us focused. There is a whole lot of stuff in the world that is wanting to draw us away from that big picture into other pictures, into other things. But if we primarily recognize that we are citizens of the kingdom of God and align ourselves with that, then we're going to be able to make good choices. And even if those good choices lead to difficult, bad, persecuted outcomes for us, we'll have that resilience to know that we are in the right place doing the right stuff, even if it's going to be difficult or we've got opposition. And I think that's a really important thing. Big picture, kingdom of God, and we're going to spend a fair bit of time this year talking about God's mission, our mission. What is the mission of God? What is his kingdom on about? And what are we meant to be doing to be part of that? So focusing on what are those principles and choosing to live by those principles rather than the things of this world. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily find that easy. In fact, preparing this message was quite challenging, because as I'm preparing some of the things that are saying this is what our life focus needs to be, I'm thinking, ooh, that's going to be hard to preach. I'm not sure I'm really that focused on those things as I should be. I'm preaching this to myself. I'm going to have to hear this myself. I'm going to have to make some changes as a result of sort of getting into some of this and thinking about what it means. How I live doesn't always reflect the values of the kingdom. Often it reflects more the values of this world. I see things on the news and I get annoyed. Somebody cuts me off when I'm driving and I have a different reaction to a kingdom of God reaction. And certain things don't necessarily just flow naturally. I have to make choices every day about how I'm going to live my life. And a person who lives according to God's principles is going to find themselves in the best possible place in life in relation to God, but not necessarily in relation to everybody else. Because people don't always appreciate people who make godly decisions. You're very much aware that people who make decisions that are counter to some of the things that the world wants to do cop persecution, opposition, in lots of different ways. And so if we are to stand up for what's right, sometimes we're going to get abused criticised, demonised, all sorts of things. I could name numerous issues where Christians are standing up for what they believe is right and copping great opposition. In fact, we know that, you know, to be politically correct today, you're not allowed to criticise anybody except for, basically, Christians. It's open slather on us, but we're not allowed to say anything about anybody else. It's a world value rather than a kingdom value. Kingdom values will sometimes mean that we actually have to go against the values of our nation. Now, whilst patriotism and nationalism have their place, and there's a place to be proud of the country that we're part of and were born into or came to, if the conflict is between kingdom of God values and national values, then we have to make choices. And ultimately, our choice needs to be towards a kingdom of God value if we're going to follow the big picture of God in our life, not the one of this world or of other national values that we may not hold for ourselves. That can lead to persecution, that can lead to criticism, that can lead to loss of jobs, loss of opportunities, because we're branded in certain ways if we make those choices. But it's important for us when we look at world issues, national issues, to be thinking not values of the world or what the world sees as just and right, but values of the kingdom and what the kingdom says is right. And so therefore, if we really look at the Word of God and what it says about the way we should be living, the way we should be treating one another, the way we should be treating the stranger, the refugee, the poor, then we have to have some different values to what we see around us if we're going to hold kingdom values rather than world values. Example, people who are poor. I just saw some stuff the other day on people living on the street, how they're having a crackdown on the homeless on the street. And the tenor of this article I read was basically saying that they're a blight on our society. They're making us all look bad, and it's time we cleared them out and got rid of them because, you know, we don't want them around. The assumption behind that is it's their fault, they're to blame. If they had worked better, made better life choices, they wouldn't be poor, they wouldn't be in this situation. And whilst for some that could be true, there's an awful lot of people who are in that situation not by any choice of their own. And a kingdom value would say that these are valuable people who are finding themselves in a difficult situation, and we should find ways to love them and lift them up and to provide appropriate housing or whatever is needed and counselling and help to get them to a place where they can have a fulfilling, meaningful life again. Now, all right, some of them have made bad choices, but we all make bad choices, and God is the God of second chances. So in terms of living values, that's the sort of thing we have to be thinking about. And so if we're in that place where we're prepared to stand up for kingdom values, I think we will find ourselves a much more resilient person because we understand what we're living for. We understand the things that are actually making it difficult for us, but they fit a picture. It's like instead of one part of the puzzle that doesn't make a lot of sense, we know our part of the puzzle makes sense because it fits the big picture. So when we're fulfilling our part, doing what is right, ultimately we are working towards the fulfillment of God's kingdom. Now, God, Jesus told us to pray, and what was one of the first things he said? The Lord's Prayer, which we call it. Our Father who art in heaven. Well, that's the King James Version, but that's what I learnt many years ago, and it sticks in my head. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So if we are to be obedient to that prayer and to pray that prayer, we are praying for the values of God's kingdom to become part of the place that we live. Part of here, part of Kiwanis, part of this community. And so as we live according to those principles, we begin to bring some of the kingdom into the place we live. Now we know it's an already but not yet kingdom. Not yet do we live in the fully realized kingdom of God here on earth because Jesus hasn't come back and it's still a fallen place that needs to be finally dealt with. But the more we live according to those principles, the more our community will reflect God's principles, God's kingdom. And we will bless this place by that living and that presence. So it's how we live our life in terms of the values that we espouse, the behaviours that we do and don't do, and the things that we make judgments on are really important. Now, another aspect of that big picture is, and it is tied to the little jigsaw idea, God gives gifts to everybody. Gifts and abilities and talents. It's part of who you were, the way he created you, uniquely, individually, with certain things that you are good at that can contribute to a society, a community, a church. Now, for some people, they take gifts in the Bible, spiritual gifts, and they get very specific. You know, there's five role gifts in Ephesians, pastor, teacher, apostle, evangelist, and prophet. And so there's only five of those. And then over here in Corinthians, we've got nine gifts. So there's nine of those, and we divide them up into three little categories. And in Romans, there's a couple of others. But what if gifts are not like that? What if gifts and abilities are the things that God's put into everybody's life, and that, yes, we can label some of them, but others, they might not have simple labels, and things that happen in our society today where God has gifted people to do things that others can't, might never even have been imagined back when the biblical records were written. So maybe they were just writing about the things that were useful and helpful and needed to be identified for those specific situations, the gifts of people to the Ephesians, the gifts of spiritual functioning to the Corinthians, the gifts of more practical nature to the Romans. And what about the gifts of today, the gifts for each one of you? Nobody should think, I don't really have anything special to contribute. Everybody is gifted by God for something. And so we ought to be identifying that people who are good at certain things that build up the community, and that was the whole emphasis on giftings anyway, it was for the building up of the body, the community of faith. People have different qualities, different abilities, different gifts. Some are very practical, some are very spiritual. Not that we sort of want to make a complete distinction between those, but everybody brings something into the community. We should be encouraging one another in the things that we contribute, spiritually, practically, into making a community a great place. Not just into the church itself, but into our broader community. As we serve in the kingdom of God, using what he created in us and made us good at, I think that's the sort of thing we ought to be striving to let come out. Not hide it, and not flaunt it, but just be good at the stuff God made you good at and find the place where you're best able to use that to build his kingdom, both within the church and within the community. And so giftedness helps us realize that in God's big picture, we have a place. We have a part to play. And we are important to the whole. And in fact, in some of those lists of gifts, it talks about the body can only be whole when everybody plays its part, when everyone does its bit in that big picture. So keeping the big picture in mind helps you to say, all right, my bit might only be this. You know, I might be good at shaking hands at people at the door and making them feel welcome when they come to church, or I might only be good at, you know, looking out for my neighbours and taking a casserole around if they're sick or something like that, but that's important. I think we exalt certain gifts because they're very upfront, you know, preaching and teaching, being a musician, public sort of things, worship leaders, but they're only things that happen when we come together. It's things that happen all the time are really important. It keeps our community, our church functioning in a healthy way. Everybody contributes something. So have a think about the big picture. Your part is important. It's not that you are just going along, it's nice to be there. God has created stuff in you that actually is meant to be invested back into his kingdom. And there's a resilience that comes to life when we begin to understand, I have a purpose. I've been created for something. You know, Psalm 139 says, God knew us from the very moment we were conceived, watched us being formed. Ephesians 4:10 says, God created you for a life of good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. Do you know what those things are? He's not going to send you a letter saying, here's the things I want you to do. It's a matter of just being aware of the fact that you have opportunities to serve, opportunities to do things that are going to be reflecting the values of the kingdom, building God's kingdom, and strengthening the whole of the witness of his people. You're important, and what you do is important to the kingdom of God. Keep that big picture view. Not think, oh, I'm only insignificant doing this little thing here. All I do is lead a Bible study. All I do is just disciple a couple of young people. You know, it's not all I do. It's, you're doing your part. It's important and it's valuable. And we put levels of importance on them, but God doesn't. He values every individual's contribution to his kingdom. Can you step back and sit on the veranda for a while and survey the farm and see the big picture of what God is doing in this community, in this church, and begin to appreciate that that little bit and that little bit and doing this over here and mending that over there, that's all important for keeping it running well, functioning as it should be. Sometimes we're just so busy doing things that need to be done that we don't take enough time to look at what we're doing them for. We're doing them to build the kingdom of God. We're part of his kingdom. If you are struggling with that sort of stuff and not feeling like you have a valuable place, then God needs to minister to your heart and let you understand what he has placed in you. Now, in part of that, sometimes we can become discouraged. Sometimes we're not like the GPS following the track. We're like explorers who have no idea what's out there, and we're just blundering along, trying to see, sort of head in a certain direction and discover what's there. And in part, some of that's sometimes okay. It's good to go into new territory. But if that's what your whole life feels like, I think that's a problem that really needs to be addressed, and someone needs to encourage you and help you walk through getting a bit more focus about what is some of the key core things that could keep you focused. Sometimes we get lost. Sometimes the GPS sends us to a totally wrong place. We haven't checked it carefully enough or whatever, and life does that to us sometimes too. Sometimes we get frustrated and we just want to turn around and go home. And life does that to us too. Sometimes we turn around and we backtrack. Sometimes we need to backtrack because we've gone on a wrong path, maybe intentionally, and we need to get back on track. And so having the big picture doesn't always assure us that we're always going to go in the right direction and in the right way. And if you've got yourself lost, confused, uncertain of what that big picture is, you've lost the big picture and you're just in a mess, then there's people around you who would want to help you. Not to rescue you necessarily in a sense, but to just encourage you as you get into God's word again and begin to see what that big picture is. Allow him to speak into your life about maybe some things that you need to put right, maybe some things you need to walk away from and get back on track. And so whilst there's a very positive sense of us going in the right direction, there's plenty of times we end up going in the wrong direction. And we need to turn around and get back in focus. And that is part of looking at the big picture again, to say, is what I'm doing right now, is what I'm involved in, is the direction I'm going taking me towards God's goal, God's ultimate picture of what life is on about? And if it's not, if it's taking you down the wrong path, if it's taking you further away from God rather than closer to God, if it's taking you away from his kingdom values back into the world's values, then you need to reset your course. Stop, have a look at the map again and realize you're going the wrong way and make choices to head back in the right direction. The Bible calls that repentance. Choosing to turn around from the wrong things and make a positive choice to go in the right direction. So maybe this morning you need someone to pray with about a need of repentance. God's speaking to you saying, you know my big picture and you've been going the opposite way. Just like Jonah, that was the other picture here. God's telling you, I've got a purpose for your life, I've got things I want you to do, and you're running in the opposite direction because you don't want to do it for whatever reason. So if there's a need of repentance, then as we conclude our service, you may want to ask someone to pray with you. You might want to go home and get in your own little prayer place and get before God and make some choices. Look at the big picture and make sure you're going in the right direction, heading towards the right stuff. If things are going great, thank God and praise Him and keep on focused on the big picture. The times when life falls apart is when we lose that big picture. Our resilience is gone because we're not sure what the direction we're meant to be going is. We're not sure that we're actually focused on the right stuff. When you're focused on the right stuff and things are a mess, then you've got resilience because you know there's just an obstacle that has to be overcome to get me to that place where God wants me. But if you're not sure, then it's just a mess. It's not just an obstacle, it's just a mess. So I guess the challenge this morning is stay focused on the big picture if you want to have a resilient life. The only way we understand that big picture is to really be reading our Bibles, understanding the whole sweep of what God has done through our history, what God's done in the New Testament, and in a sense, what God's been doing for the last 2,000 years to build a people who will give witness to Him and to live a life that reflects the kingdom of God. Let me pray for you and me. It's been a challenge to me to be thinking through some of this stuff as well, very much so. Lord, thank you that we have your word. We have a sense of what the big picture of life is, what the real purpose and meaning of life is. Thank you, Lord, that you, the creator of all things, have revealed yourself to us over history, both before Jesus came and through Jesus and since, through the lives of many women and men who have served you faithfully and demonstrate the true principles of your kingdom. I pray that each one of us would be men and women and young people who reflect your kingdom values in our space and place, and that your kingdom would come in Kiwana as it is in heaven. Lord, if you need to deal with us, I pray that you would do it gently but forcefully in a way that encourages us to step up and make right choices, that we truly would be a kingdom people focused on God's mission, and that your mission would become our mission. This we ask in the mighty power of the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you this morning. If you do want someone to pray with you, Donnie and I would be happy, but anybody can pray with you about any of those matters. Thank you.